It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today. Hey everybody. Sorry about that. I was clicking buttons. It's day two. It's the second episode of That's News to Me, and we're going to talk about some news stories. I'm a little more prepared, I think, and I'll try and be less rushed, but also speak loud enough to so you can hear me. So, first up today, I wanted to talk about tech news that I thought was kind of cool, a little international tech story, and that's that the National Crime Agency over in the UK worked with forces across Europe on their biggest and most significant law enforcement action to date. So, major crimes figures were among over 800 Europe-wide arrests after messages on EncroChat were intercepted and decoded. More than 2 tons of drugs, several dozen guns, and £54 million in suspect cash have been seized. While the NCA was part of the investigation, it was initiated and led by French and Dutch police, and also involved Europol, the EU agency for law enforcement cooperation. Will van Gimmert, deputy executive director of Europol, told a press conference in The Hague that the hacking of the network had allowed the disruption of criminal activities, including violent attacks, corruption, attempted murders, and large-scale drug transports. The NCA says the Europe-wide operation lasted over 3 months and involved forces across the UK, has had the biggest impact on organized crime gangs it has ever seen. The Metro Police Commissioner Dame Cressida Dick, whose force made 171 of the 746 UK arrests and seized $13.3 million in cash, described it as a game-changer. "This is just the beginning. We will be disrupting organized criminal networks as a result of these operations for weeks and months and possibly years to come," she said. Nikki Holland, NCA Director of Investigation, said the operations team had described it as akin to cracking the Enigma code. "They see this as a significant in terms of getting that inside information, effectively having a person inside an organized crime group telling us what they're up to." So, its story goes on, but this is really where open protocols and actually using secure methods can, like, this is the government's argument why encrypted chat is bad, because they say bad actors will get in there and start causing trouble. So this is also why we have to be careful, because as soon as the government starts involved, anyway, I'm not going to get into the discussion of it, but it's just, if you're going to use encrypted traffic, you want to use a secure algorithm. So anyway, and don't do crime, I guess. I don't know what the requirements are for a non-radio. You are listening to anonradio.net, and this is news to me. So let's talk about news. Let's stop talking about how I feel. So in France has some good news for us today. France's Armed Forces Ministry has provided local authorities with a guide to 100 Africans who fought for France in World War II so that streets and squares may be named after them. France's reappraisal of its colonial past is fueled by the global anti-racism protests and Black Lives Matter. There are many Sinhalese and North African soldiers on the list, but none from what was French Indochina. Africans played a big role in the liberation of France in 1944. French Junior Defense Minister Genevieve de Ruissec, presenting the 210-page booklet, said, "The names, faces, lives of these African heroes must become part of our lives as free citizens, because without them, we would not be free." I think that's pretty dang beautiful. The story goes on to say, "Rather than knocking down, I ask you to build," Mr. Riske told mayors. "Rather than erasing, I ask you to consider turning our public spaces into places to teach." She goes on to say, "Today, very few of our streets are named after these African combatants, so the aim is to build." So the article's a little bit longer, but it's on the BBC website, and it's really a good read, and it's helpful to remember that a lot of our history and stories and stuff you learn in school, it's more what the state decided you should know. So the history is there, but sometimes you have to look a little harder. I've got one more international story for you, and that's out of Singapore. I like Singapore a lot, as I mentioned yesterday. And what they've got is they're doing their general election, and there was a debate on July 1st, and Mothership, one of the news outlets there, had an interview or talked with Jamis Lim, who's for the Workers' Party, about about the performance and thoughts on fellow debaters. I'll just read a couple parts of it. But the idea here is that there's several different parties. Jamis Lim kind of shined in the first debate, and so he's kind of become this meme and superstar. So here we go. Jamis Lim of the Workers' Party caused quite a buzz at the recent live debate held on July 1st between four political parties on MediaCorp. Apart from Lim, the other three involved in the event were Vivian Balakrishnan from the People's Action Party, that's the PAP, and they hold like a majority of the seats right now, I think. That's PM Lee, the guy I like, he's part of this PAP. And then you got Frances Yuen from the Progressive Singapore Party, and Chee Soon Chin. Chee Soon Wan, Singapore Democratic Party. So speaking to Mothership on the 2nd of July, that's today, Lim shared his impressions of Vivian, Yuen, and Chi, having enjoyed the discussion and was appreciative of the positions and viewpoints that the other three parties brought to the table. And so as per Lim, he said, "Maybe it's a bit of the academic mindset I have. I enjoy the exchange of ideas. I think the exchange of ideas makes our democracy healthier." He's also quoted as saying, "That's important to emphasize. You know, we are Singapore, and we stand as one relative to the rest of the world." And he's talking about like how the other representatives, everyone is vying to represent Singapore, but they can't lose sight. Even though they're rivals, they can't lose sight. They're going to be the face of the country. So he has a few other quotes, but if you go to mothership.sg, like Sierra Grande, then you'll see it. So that's the international story. I'd like to go ahead here and pause for a second and play a song before we get into some more domestic news. So this track here, we're going to play a couple 80s songs. Today, the first one I've got is from Soft Cell, and it's called Tainted Love. You're listening to AnonRadio.net. DJ on AnonRadio.net. Just follow the instructions on the right-hand sidebar if you want to broadcast. Check out instructions. There's a few open spots in the schedule. You can also talk on the open mic and open void. So give that a shot. I like hanging out in open void if I can in the evening times. My lunch be getting delivered. behind the scenes, but I'll be getting some food delivered, so the song might repeat. Sorry about that. Well, I think I figured a solution. Just stop recording and start recording again. So, sorry about that little mess there. So, let's talk about some more news. So, let's look at Texas first. The non-COVID related news that I found was from the Texas Tribune. Basically this, the state education board is reviewing sex ed standards for the first time since 1997. So, been a long, long time. And so, the current policies don't talk about, like, anything about LGBTQ, lesbian, gay, bi, trans, queer, intersex, asexual, any sexuality or gender spectrum stuff. It's not required, it's not in the curriculum. So, over 200 people signed up to talk and testify and ask for these kind of things. I'll just read this part here. At a marathon virtual hearing Monday, dozens of Texans implored the State Board of Education to dramatically update the minimum statewide standards for what Texas public school students are taught about sex and health policies, which have not been revised since 97, we said. So the 15-member board is considering requiring that middle schoolers learn about contraceptives, sexually transmitted infections, and the importance of consent. I guess this is what this show's going to be, because I thought I could read news objectively, but the news that interests me, I also feel strongly about, and it just boggles the mind that having to teach about sexually transmitted infections or diseases is a debatable thing. These are lifelong consequences, and for some of these diseases. So, anyhow, many also asked the board to require that students learn about sexual orientation and gender identity, and especially since LGBTQ students are more likely to be discriminated against and bullied. Neither the draft revisions nor the current health standards, the minimum statewide requirement for what students learn, includes sexual orientation or gender identity. So, one last part. A small number of speakers showed up in favor of abstinence-only education, which is also known as sexual risk avoidance, which promotes teaching students to avoid sex until marriage, not how to have safer sex. So, It's pretty amazing. I mean, in a state where they've practically made abortion and impossible to access, and most women's health hospitals are super restricted, or they're run by like a Catholic organization. It's a little troubling, but hopefully we get something positive out of this. Time will tell. Well, let's continue the news that upsets Marcus with something out of Alabama. In Alabama, college students, this is off of Yahoo News, reputable news source, but they've been doing a little better lately. But ABC News broke this story, but a city council member in Tuscaloosa, Alabama told ABC News on Wednesday that students in the college town had been throwing COVID parties. People infected with the coronavirus are invited to the parties, and attendees take bets on who will get sick first. as of Thursday, and Thursday is today, July 2nd. Sorry, I've got the mic turned up, and I hate that there's so much like mouth sounds and stuff, so I'm going to have to work on the mix. Sorry. As of Thursday, the state had confirmed more than 38,000 COVID-19 cases and 947 deaths. Authorities have warned that intensive care unit beds might run out. And so, here it is. The city's fire chief, Randy Smith, first reported the parties at a meeting on Tuesday. Smith said the fire service had received reports of students throwing parties and inviting known positives, but initially thought it was a rumor. Not only did the doctor's office help confirm it, but the state confirmed they had the same information, Smith said, according to the WBMA. And WBMA is a ABC local news affiliate. So this is just, if there was any proof or studies that said that after you catch it, you have any amount of immunity, maybe I could see a twisted version of someone thinking this was a good idea. But really, these people are playing with their lives and the lives of their families and loved ones and everyone they come in contact with. So don't do that, please. All right. And one more news story here. And it's COVID related again, because pretty much everything is either COVID or police suppression and oppression these days. And it's in Florida, COVID-19 cases have surged 46% over the past week, but the governor says he's not going to delay the state's reopening. So in Texas and California, other hotspots, everyone's rolling back, but Florida said that it's reported some 159,000 cases as of Thursday morning, most of which do not account for those that are asymptomatic or pre-symptomatic, and 3,550 confirmed deaths from the virus. It reported 9,585 new cases on Saturday, so in 24 hours, almost 10,000 people. On Wednesday, Florida's Department of Health announced 6,563 additional cases. The disease caused by the coronavirus SARS-CoV-2, and 45 new deaths as the state moves into its fifth month of the pandemic. Similar figures are expected for today. So while COVID-19's progress has slowed in states like New York, where most cases in the U.S. are, confirmed coronavirus cases have risen in 35 states, with some of the most populous states such as Florida, Texas, and California a key cause for concern. So, if you are not currently in the United States, you probably want to avoid the United States for a good while. And if you're in the U.S. Or in Texas, like me, stay inside. If you do go outside, wear a mask. Just get over it and just do it. It's not a huge deal, and it's just so disrespectful for those around you to not. So, anyway, look up Typhoid Mary and read her story, and you'll see a scary parallel to what's going on today. But it's on such a wider scale, because we have probably thousands, if not millions, of Typhoid Marys running around. So, well, on that, I'll just say, come on, Eileen. You're listening to AnonRadio.net. This is news to me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. And this is Dexy's Midnight Runners with... Yep, that's right. Come on, Eileen. Migrate on into tech news and calm down. It's time to wind down. So, Zuckerberg of Facebook fame has made an annoying / frustrating statement that I think we all knew was coming. He says no policy change are coming because all these advertisers will be back soon enough. And so Facebook, there's a massive boycott with over 300 companies pulling their ads from Facebook to protest the platform and how they foster hate speech and how they show ads next to hate speech, which advertisers really don't want. You know, Coca-Cola doesn't want to be known as the Coca the KKK or something. So anyway, here's the story from MarketWatch. You know, sometimes they're biased, but this is pretty neutral. Hundreds of companies around the world have joined a temporary ad boycott against Facebook Inc., but Chief Executive Mark Zuckerberg says he's not worried and has no intention of changing its policies. Zuckerberg said the boycott is more of a PR issue than one that will hurt the social media giant's bottom line, according to a report Wednesday by The Information, which cited a transcript of remarks Zuckerberg gave at an employee-only virtual town hall Friday. "We're not going to change our policies or approach on anything because of a threat to a small percent of our revenue, or to any percent of our revenue," he said. While generating headlines, the boycott involves only a tiny fraction of Facebook's roughly 8 million advertisers. The company generates almost all of its revenue from ads. The Stop Hate for Profit campaign was started by civil rights groups last month following calling for major companies to stop their Facebook ad spending for July to protest the company's inability to rein in hate speech, threats of violence, and misinformation on its platform. So, our good friend Zuckerberg is Facebook, and as always, there are alternatives to Facebook. If you look up Diaspora, Diaspora, in your favorite search engine, like DuckDuckGo, you will see that this I like that platform. It's Facebook-like. You can have your friends, you share pictures, you share stories, videos, whatever. Your friends, you have circles. It's very similar experience, but it's not completely amoral. So just a note. So let's talk about some other stuff that's pretty quick, because I don't want to run out of time. I think if I'm doing this right, we've got about 4 or 5 minutes left. So I want to introduce you to something I've been trying to learn. It's called Task Warrior. And so I donate to the GNOME Project, and if you donate like $30 a month, they also give you a subscription to LWN.net. That's Lima Whiskey November dot November Echo Tango. And that site has Linux news. It's Linux Weekly News. And it's amazing. One of the articles out is about task managers. And I've used Task Manager or Task Warrior before, but this write-up got me to kind of want to do it again. Task Warrior is another task manager around which a healthy community has formed. In contrast to todo.txt, Task Warrior supports a rich set of features and attributes, including various dates, start, end, and due dates, dependencies, projects, and tags. User-defined attributes can also be added. Task Warrior sets virtual tags automatically depending on the situation, such as today or maybe more commonly seen, overdue. The project even supports a document object model through which data can be accessed. So while tasks are stored in human-readable text files, interaction is often through a command line tool, or is always through a command line tool called task. It makes adding, editing, and querying tasks easy. Task Warrior supports filters, automatically calculates priorities, and integrates a calendar view and statistics. It does not dictate the user's workflow or the task management methodology to be followed, but there is a helpful write-up about implementing the popular GTD Getting Things Done system with Task Warrior. It's an amazing piece of software. I used to use it I used to run Screen as my window manager on FreeBSD on an old 486, and I used Task Warrior a lot for that. So just shout out. LWN is going to be my go-to news source, I think, for tech news for a while. We also have a piece of information from Python's world, and oh shucks. I think we're out of time. Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then. Well, I think I figured a solution. Just stop recording and start recording again. So, sorry about that little mess there. So, let's talk about some more news. So,